Oh God. Are
No,
you
it's
just a
all.
big fan of Twilight? Are you just like the biggest
Oh
fan?
yeah. I'm on my going on a Jacob hunt after this. Gotta go
That's the
find some
weirdest
werewolves.
name for a sex act I have ever heard. A Jacob hunt.
It's very primal, Sean. It's very, very primal.
Gonna strip down. I'm going to read all four books. That's the only way to prepare. Lather
Yes.
myself up and go look for something to imprint on.
Yes, this is true.
Yeah. It's all about hitting on your friend's girl, not getting your friend's girl, and then getting after their kid.
Yeah.
Just having really reasonable ideas about how maybe she shouldn't hang out with this guy who's currently stalking her. Just
Yeah.
maybe don't do that. And then she gets pissed and like, you know what? I'm gonna go do puberty instead. I'm busy. I'm gonna go be puberty for a while. And you come back and she's like, damn.
Yeah. Who do I
And it
want? Do
still
I want
doesn't work.
the 300-year-old virgin here, or do I want the hot as hell guy who may turn into a dog?
Like an actual just fucking dog. Like not a
Yeah.
werewolf.
And
Just a
rip your
fucking
face
dog.
off. I don't get why he's so upset that she doesn't want to be with him. If he could imprint on anyone at any time, what's she supposed to do if she packs up her shit and leaves her life and goes to be with him, and then all of a sudden he wants to be with somebody else? It's fucked up.
You know what? That's an excellent critique.
It's a flaw in the
That's
show.
no, that that's such a flaw. I'm starting to think that now my opinion is swinging back towards 50 Shades of Grey being the more legitimate piece of writing.
Yeah.
God damn it! I get it!
It was just crap. It was terrible.
I was titillated.
I know you want to go.
I know I slept with like three girls a night and no one ever said anything.
Dude!
Oh god, you guys are disgusting.
Boring.
So boring.
That is an amazing film.
Ooh, I love me some Statham.
That's a little bit of brilliance that just came out of your mouth there,
I, you
Justin. I
know
like
what?
it.
Do you want to keep going?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, geeks of all ages, welcome back to another fun and festive episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. I'm Justin Cavender, and this week our show's a little bit different. We're missing Amanda and Randy. However, we do in fact have Mr. Edmondson. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great.
And we also have a special guest this week, Mr. Sean Leonard from Is It a Bicycle Podcast. How are you doing today, sir?
Very good, very good. I appreciate you guys inviting me on. I'm very, very excited. Sweating my balls off here in Vegas, but I'm feeling good.
I like it. I fell in love with those sweaty balls back at San Diego Comic-Con. This is where we met. It was a little corner over at the Fallen Skies press line. We were busy waiting forever to talk to somebody. And I,
Anybody.
anybody, and I don't watch the show. I got stuck covering it for Mr. Tony Tolato of Sci-Fi Talk, and sadly, I don't watch it. I don't know anything about it. I watched the first episode, I think, maybe the second. And you were kind enough to fill me in on the last couple of seasons. Appreciate that.
On the deets, hey, no worries, man. I asked many people to do the same with other genre shows of which I am not a fan.
Oh yeah, like what?
Like Grimm, that show that's apparently been on forever.
Yeah, a couple seasons, 3 seasons, I think.
Three, they're going to their fourth. Let me tell you, I got a really extensive schooling on the TV series Grimm because I had to. Like, that was a really well-run room. Everybody was coming to sit down and chat to us. And I'm just there going, what is that person's character? And they're like, well, they were going to get married, but then this person got like drugged, like magic drugged, and then like they shapeshifted and had sex with someone, which isn't cheating because the guy thought that that's what that person was. And
Sounds
I'm just
about
like, stellar.
right.
Absolutely.
You went to
Classic.
Grimm school.
Yeah.
Yeah. What can you do? Well, anyway.
They were
So,
nice.
yeah, they are nice. Fine young men and women. What can you do? So, I'm excited. Mr. Joaquin Phoenix, he's done taking crazy pills. He's done acting like a psycho, which is great. And word around the campfire is he's in talks to play Doctor Strange. David, is this true?
Well, I sure hope it's true because Joaquin Phoenix is amazing. Her was probably my favorite movie last year,
Oh my
and
God.
he have you seen her?
I don't like movies like that where there's a one guy talking to himself, but not really. He's talking to some AI thing. I've seen it 100 times, Dave. I don't need to watch it again.
Yes, you love The
Good,
Amazing
good movie.
Spider-Man 2.
I did. It was really good.
And The Money Pit.
It was pretty good too.
But you won't watch her.
I won't.
It's amazing. You
I
should
don't
watch it.
like anywhere. I don't like people that wear Bluetooth headsets. It
That's such
bugs
a
me.
weird reason.
I hate it. I hate it so much. And when I'm
You
shopping and they're talking to somebody, I hate that. I hate
it.
But
he's talking
to
his girlfriend.
I get that, but he could be talking to a real life person for all I care. I hate people that walk around talking on a phone. And in this case, he's just talking to somebody who he thinks is right. Well, doesn't think that he's right there. He's pretending they're right there. I don't like it.
Well, Her's neither here nor there, but it is an amazing movie, and just said you should watch it. But Joaquin Phoenix, I was really excited last year when they were rumoring him to play Lex Luthor in Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice / worst title in the history of the universe. That obviously went to Jesse Eisenberg, which is another amazing bit of casting, but word around the campfire at Marvel is that they're pretty hot to trot on Joaquin Phoenix, and that they're at the 1 yard line as far as casting goes, and that they're really keen to have him in the Doctor Strange movie, which they have slated to be the movie after Captain America 3. So we'll have Avengers 2, Age of Ultron, we'll have Ant-Man, we'll have Captain America 3, and then we'll have Doctor Strange. So if they want to release that in 2017. Yes, 2016, sorry. So if they want to get that out, they're going to have to start casting and hiring a director. So I like Joaquin Phoenix. What do you guys think?
I'm also seeing reports that he doesn't like the idea. Part of the hiccup here in this whole deal is that he doesn't like the idea of Marvel being so crazy with their reshoots and shooting in front of a green screen all the time. He does, you know, his roles aren't typically like this, and this would be something that he's never done before. And on top of that, chances are they would have him come, you know, be in multiple movies, and it's not something that he wants to commit to just yet.
Right. He won't have the freedom of his schedule to kind of pick and choose the projects that he does. He'll, in some sense, be beholden to appearing, you know, however many. All the Marvel contracts are different lengths. Like Samuel Jackson's 9 movies, you know, Chris Evans is 6 movies, Chris Hemsworth is 5 movies. You know, they're all different. So who knows how many movies they would want him as Doctor Strange. And, you know, someone like Scarlett Johansson, you know, she's in so many movies that, you know, she's pretty much always shooting a Marvel movie and has trouble getting away to do her own stuff. So that could really hamper an artist, an auteur, mm-hmm. like Mr. Joaquin Phoenix. He was in Parenthood, you know.
I feel like it'd be 6 would be the number, right? They'd want to make sure they have him down for a trilogy of Avengers movies and a trilogy of Doctor Strange ones, right? Like, that's a lot.
That is a lot.
Yeah.
But I mean,
I'm excited.
Who knows what they'll want him to show up in above and beyond that.
I'm excited about Joaquin Phoenix playing Doctor Strange because he is a great actor. What I'm a little worried about is the opposite of that is, are they going to be writing a Doctor Strange for Joaquin Phoenix to play? Which then leads me to the idea that it's going to be like a super serious, like, okay, this is going to be about a guy who loses his ability to be a surgeon, and then it's like, oh no, like, what's he going to do? He, like, his god complex kicks in, how's he going to learn how to do this? Oh no, like, dark pacts. And whereas my Doctor Strange, my favorite Stephen Strange, is the guy who just keeps getting bugged by everybody else when something magic happens. Like, Spider-Man keeps unwittingly crashing into the middle of something ridiculous, and he's like, hey, Doctor Strange, I got a thing and I'm gonna make some jokes, and he's like, oh god, we're gonna go somewhere, I'm gonna tell him not to touch something, he's gonna touch it, that's what's gonna happen.
Well, he's a child.
Yeah, like a little child boy. So I don't know, I'm excited about him as an actor, but
yeah, I would say if it were any other studio, I would worry about that, about them writing it for Joaquin Phoenix. But I think Kevin Feige, I think, has shown that they have a distinct direction they're taking the Marvel Universe in, and I think they're going to write it one way and let the actor maybe have subtle nuances, kind of like how Robert Downey Jr. with Iron Man. But I think they're going to have they have a goal for Doctor Strange, and if Joaquin Phoenix isn't going to fit it, they're not going to tailor the part to him.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that. I kind of feel super safe and comfy with those guys. It's like when you're in a really good relationship with someone, you know, you're just like, you know what, I would be worried about this, but because it's you, I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah. They're batting 9 for 10, 10 for 10 if you like the first Captain America movie.
I do not.
I don't mind it. It's got its moments.
Mr. Johnston.
Yeah. Joe Johnston.
Nope. Pass.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, what do you think this will do to the future of the Avengers, Sean?
Well, a rumor was flying around there the past week that the end of Avengers 2, Age of Ultron, will also mark a stark reshaping of the Avengers lineup. Captain America himself may even form a new Avengers team. which may even fit in with the idea that there no longer is a SHIELD and they're just like a private unit possibly funded by Stark. So it seems that the Phase 3 characters will, you know, obviously at some point become a part of the Avengers. And the idea is because of Robert Downey Jr.'s contract going to be running out soon and because of the cost of having to get all these actors back in to play these roles and the fatigue we discussed earlier of actors like having to do these movies so long, so many times, that they may just change up before anything happens. They're going to actively change up the lineup of the Avengers, which could be anything from just adding Quicksilver, Scarlet Witch, and maybe Ant-Man and Miss Marvel, given that Miss Marvel as well as Doctor Strange is one of the big movies they're tossing around for one of those release dates that they set up a while back.
At this point, we are to believe that everyone will make it out of Age of Ultron, right? But Joss Whedon does like to kill off characters, so it is possible that we might just see the end of somebody. Now we gotta go to another roster. Or maybe Captain America. Maybe Steve Rogers is a big old baby. And he says, fuck you guys, I'm taking my shield and I'm going home with these other guys.
Stop murdering people, because apparently that's something that we do a lot. Where are the nice guys? Why can't I just go be a hero like in the 40s when everyone just punched each other all the time?
Yeah. I didn't shoot Nazis. I punched them in the face.
There's a reason I have a shield and not a big knife gun. Yeah. I don't carry a knife gun into fights or wear one, Tony.
And that would be real interesting if Avengers 3 was a different lineup, because it almost feels like with how they had Thanos at the end of the first Avengers and how we know he's going to be kind of a background villain for all of the cosmic run with like Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and whatever spin-off movies they do. It almost seemed like they were setting up Thanos as like the main villain for Avengers 3. And it would seem weird to have Thanos go against like the B-Squad.
Yeah, where he just crushes them all, then it's credits.
The evil has won. It seemed like that would be a better like stopping point. But I mean, I know Downey's contract is up after Avengers 2, and you know it's going to cost them $50 million for him to come back, I'm sure.
But is that a problem when the franchise makes billions?
No, not necessarily. But I mean, it's just at that point they start looking at logistics, like, do we want to sign Robert Downey Jr. on for another lengthy contract, or do we want to just have do like a one and done and just have him show up in Avengers 2 and then Avengers 3? But that's the model that the Marvel movies have been, is, you know, everyone peeks in other people's movies from time to time just to remind you, like, hey, Thor's in this universe still, and hey, check it out, Hulk's still around over here. Mm-hmm. So I don't see them making like a special like Robert Downey Jr. contract. I mean, if anyone deserves it in the Marvel Universe, it would be him. Or maybe there's a different Iron Man. Maybe they just don't have Tony Stark be, or Robert Downey Jr. be Iron Man anymore. The James Bond is ass.
They could do, it seems like replacements are something they're really actively thinking about nowadays, whether it be the Bucky for the Winter Soldier, or even Anthony Mackie, given what's happening in the comics, or Rhodey himself stepping into Iron Man, which if they did ever go that route, I can only presume that it would, you know, fail. Like, it would be that one movie, oh, that was kind of interesting. I don't think he was great. That was fine. Don't do that again.
But what's interesting about Tony Stark is he, and they mentioned it several times in the movies, that he is a genius, and it's not just the suit that makes him so special. He's able to come up with some pretty sweet ideas to win the day. And he was the leader. You need that.
In the first Avengers movie, because I always was interested, I mean, the second you have a fight between Thor, Iron Man, and Captain America, you're always going to be like, okay, wait, which one of these guys is actually like in charge? And what it ended up being, at least the way my interpretation of the Avengers movie, is Iron Man decides things. And the one moment that he hands off control is in right before the Battle of New York, where he literally just goes, Cap, tell us what to do. Because he knows the Cap will have a battle plan because he's a military strategist. I don't know. That was a really interesting moment to me. So I don't know what they're going to do if they lose their actual leader.
Yeah, because I mean, they definitely are following in his cues up until, you know, the big Battle of Manhattan. And it would be, I mean, they've already said their headquarters is going to be in his tower, you know, in the Avengers Tower. You know, it sounds like he's going to be funding the vast majority of their, you know, their crime fighting endeavors. It would be interesting to see, you know, maybe they kill off Tony Stark. You know, no one never really dies in comic books, but they could always kill him off and have Don Cheadle take up the mantle for a while. Don Cheadle is in Avengers 2, you know, so
maybe Gwyneth Paltrow will take on the Iron Man.
No. No.
She's got superpowers and things.
They can't have girl superheroes. Marvel doesn't like that.
Oh, that's not true. They're going to fix it soon.
Sure Maybe. They are.
Maybe.
I don't know. Some signs are pointing to them getting kind of cold feet with the Captain Marvel movie, so we'll see what happens.
Maybe. They got a lot of release dates they need to fill up, though.
Yeah.
What Captain America 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2, 3, 4, a Star-Lord movie, a Gamora movie, and a Drax movie.
Rocket and Groot movie.
You forgot about the Hawkeye movie that everyone wants to see.
Oh, my God.
I legitimately would watch the shit out of that.
I would. I mean, I'd have to see it, but I wouldn't. I wouldn't be expecting much.
I saw Kevin Costner in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Isn't that just what a Hawkeye movie would be?
Pretty much.
No.
Yes.
If they did like Fractions Run, like the current thing with him just moving into a building and like getting bet to shit all the time and having really bad relationships with women because he can't grow up. That's amazing. Oh my God, where is that movie?
I am not interested.
Well, the rumor is that Hawkeye is going to be in the next in Captain America 3.
He's going to.
So we'll see how that pays off.
If that ends up being a Secret Avengers movie, that could be pretty sweet.
I just don't think he has... I mean, I like Jeremy Renner, but I just don't think that he has... I don't think he can do this... Like, the Bourne movie, how well did that do?
Didn't do well at all.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, they do good enough to where they're doing another one. So, I mean, he's super busy. I mean, he's got his Marvel commitments. He's doing Mission Impossible 5 now.
And that's all supporting stuff, though. Like those, like Mission Impossible was a supporting role, and he was great in it. He wasn't the star. Just like he was fine and dandy in Avengers, but he was barely even in Avengers.
And he's a bad guy for most.
He's not happy with that, yeah.
Yeah. He was like, dude, man, I worked out. I got buff. I went to training. I went to gymnastics class. I went to archery class.
And he was in Thor for like all of a half second.
Yeah, sitting in top of a... He was perched in a little tower.
Ready to shoot Thor in the face.
Yeah.
That was a good moment, though. I don't care what anybody says. Like, I didn't know... That was one of the things I didn't know about going in. And I was just like, he grabbed a bow. Oh, holy shit. Here we go. Holy shit.
Shoot him!
Bullets are much faster than arrows.
Well, if arrows explode and bullets don't, I mean, we could go all day. We could like weigh the benefits. One looks cooler, you know.
I like Legolas and his bow and arrow skills. I like it when he stabs a guy with the arrow and then he shoots another guy with the same arrow.
Yeah,
that
he pulls it out and he shoots a guy. That's pretty badass.
I like.
Unfortunately, I worry that Hawkeye won't do any of that stuff.
No, it's not in his contract. Anyway,
he just shoots people not looking at him.
Ooh, that is true. He makes it a point, and he even does it all slow. He's like counting, like 3, 2, 1. I'll let go now.
Yeah. Making jokes about running out of arrows.
Wouldn't it have been funny if the guy on the little speeder just stopped and just pretended to keep going?
Just whizzes off over his head.
Yeah.
Like he just stops the speeder and goes in he's with his mouth. He's just like.
Yeah. And he sneaks up behind
him. Oh, you got me. Oh, you got me. With the arrow. He catches under his armpit or something. He's like,
he like lies down and hangs out.
Yeah. And then like looks at the camera and then pretends to die again. That'd be cool.
He winks at you.
Yeah.
Breaks the fourth wall.
You see? That's better.
Oh, let's God.
Write that down on the paper and we'll send it to Mr. Whedon.
Your Hawkeye movie would be. Perhaps a travesty.
Well.
It may not do well.
No.
Not like Guardians of the Galaxy.
It'd be funny. Yeah, speaking of, that movie is just killing it at the box office. It made a whopping 16.3 after being out almost all entire month. That's not too bad.
Yeah. Only 5% off.
No.
Yeah, that's a pretty good drop.
That's not bad at all. It's very good. I only saw it once. Have you guys seen it more than once?
Just once.
I'm as a busy socialite, I mean.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine. You're on the strip. You get all that porno literature thrown your way.
Yeah.
People slapping cards in their hands going, you want to call this person? I mean, what, for like a dinner day or intelligent conversation? Keep walking.
Is it really the person on the flyer or is it somebody else? I don't want
to... Some dude does reviews of that on the internet. I'm not kidding.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, as in he'll review escorts. He'll just be like, one of the categories is literally, does she look like the girl on the card or what you asked for?
Wow.
I know.
That's a good job.
A tough job.
Yeah.
It's rough.
So, yeah, exactly. It's hard. So, this actually brings me on to my next point. Not the hard, but Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yo.
Now, that's a movie that I laughed pretty much from start to finish. You know, the mom dies, I laughed. They get in fights, I laugh. Groot explodes, I cried a little bit. But then I laughed ultimately in the end. Funny movie. Hysterical, right? And Marvel movies tend to be pretty gosh darn funny. And DC and Warner Brothers seem to be going a different route. Dave Edmondson, editor-in-chief of GeekGalaxy.com, for all your geek news and reviews, actually did a nice little post about this whole little, a no-joke policy, basically, that Drew over at HitFix says that he's heard 5 times when Warner Brothers has actually got a mandate for its upcoming DC superhero movie saying that they want no jokes. Now, I have a problem with this. I like to enjoy my movies, Dave. I don't like it being too serious. I think that the Dark Knight trilogy was the right amount of tone for me, because it was Batman and he's you know, sad. He's one of those heroes that has a right to be pissed at things. You know what I mean? Man of Steel probably could have done with more humor. I think with Batman, Alfred is kind of the comedy relief, and I'm okay with that. But if we're going to be adding all these superheroes in with this crazy Justice League movie, I want to enjoy myself. I want it to be kind of like a rock show as opposed to just this, you know, symphony of comic book characters. You know what I mean? I want to be able to... I don't want it to be all hoity-toity. What say you?
I agree 1,000%. I mean, the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe is based around humor. I mean, Iron Man has some hysterical parts. Guardians of the Galaxy is the funniest of the bunch. But, you know, even if you take, like, Thor and sometimes Captain America, you know, there's some serious points of humor to offset the action. And I think it really helps the tone, it helps the pacing, and it helps, you know, bring you down sometimes when the subject matter gets a little too rough for your palate. In my article, I talked about the Dark Knight trilogy is very serious, but yeah, it has several really great comedic parts. I think I cited Alfred when he first sees Bruce Wayne come back from the dead in Batman Begins, just reveling in the fact that he owns the Wayne fortune because Bruce Wayne was declared legally dead. You can borrow the Rolls when you want. Or when that one guy's trying to ghost to Lucius Fox in Dark Knight and wants to blackmail Batman, and Lucius Fox just says, "So you think our billionaire CEO secretly masquerades around as Batman who beats people up, and you want to blackmail him for $10 million?" So yeah, good luck with that. So
yeah,
I think that they're afraid that Green Lantern was such a disaster, and it's similar to the dynamic we were talking about a couple weeks ago with the female superhero movies, that the first one really needs to hit it huge, or else it's going to be shown as the reason that males don't want to see female superhero movies. Green Lantern was one of the first really funny movies, and it just tanked. And I think a lot of people are saying people don't want to see funny comic book movies because Green Lantern did terrible. And people didn't see Green Lantern because just from start to finish, from casting to storyboarding to directing to acting to everything, it was awful. So,
okay, so you brought up an interesting point with Dark Knight, right? Or just the Batman, the Dark Knight trilogy, right?
Right.
So Iron Man came out the same summer as the Dark Knight. And people would argue all day long that Dark Knight's one of the best comic book movies ever made. And I'm totally cool with that. But I will say that I enjoy watching Iron Man more just because it's fun. Whereas Dark Knight's just kind of this, you know, this emotional commitment where it's just depressing from start to finish. And that's cool and all, but I just like to enjoy my movies, and I definitely get a laugh with Iron Man.
What it also might be endemic of, what it might be showing, and this is perhaps particularly because they give a little more leeway to the actors and the directors in terms of how zany or weird they can be or how much they can change stuff, obviously mostly in Iron Man 1 and 2. But when you're doing the DC stuff, it's almost like it's not just that they're not as funny, but I think a lot of them, they just don't talk like people. If we're going by Man of Steel, you know, as the one movie that we know of in the DC universe that's going to be going forward, they don't really talk like people. They're incredibly shoehorned with very flimsy dialogue you know, in the same way that DC has always been gods versus Marvel always being people. Mm-hmm. You've just got, like, Superman, go, I'm going to go to a church, and then I'm going to ask about what I should do, and then the priest will tell me what I should do, and then I'm going to go fly into space and do a Jesus pose, and then maybe then people will get it. That's just not, like, a normal thing. That's a lot of style and art, right. Like, whatever, that's cool. Whereas you go to the Avengers and you got a bunch of people getting pissy with each other because they're all alpha males. Like, you know, like, this is a completely different, realistic, and personable way of telling a story, right. Which is usually what people go for in movies.
Yeah, I think that a lot of that comes down to the director being able to coax a serious performance out of actors while still giving them a little bit of line to swim with. You know, Jon Favreau did the first two Iron Man movies, is an incredible director, and he fought for Robert Downey Jr., which ended up being the best move Marvel ever made. And, you know, some actors, if you give them an inch, they're going to take a mile, and it's almost impossible to wrangle them back in. And I could totally see Warner Brothers not having the confidence in someone like Zack Snyder, who is a very visually... He's more interested in the visual aesthetics of his films most often than the performance. And I could see Warner Brothers not being as forgiving to give him that task of trying to get someone like Affleck and someone, you know, like Gal Gadot and people like that. And, you know, I think they're going for a real stylized look in this movie, and they're thinking visuals first, character second, and I think it's going to end up blowing up in their face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like my wad.
Hey.
I just went there.
You must be and looking at the Wonder Woman picture.
Yeah.
The Xena pictures, yeah.
Pretty good. She's pretty. She's a pretty, pretty girl. So, yeah.
She's very sexualized.
Yeah. Speaking of sexualized superheroes that are females. Listen, we've talked about this a couple of times, and sadly Amanda's not on this episode, which sucks because I wanted a female point of view. But... You know, there's always been this little, I can call it a stigma if I want to, but it's this whole perception that female superheroes tend to be drawn like super sexy and, you know, they're scantily clad or they're wearing outfits that aren't, you know, even remotely practical for superhero usage in the everyday life. The most recent spark of controversy comes from Marvel Comics, where they have actually hired Milo Manara, where he drew a variant cover for Spider-Woman number 1, where she's in this pose where one could argue that she's kind of striking a sexual pose. Yeah, she's kind of a spider and she's crawling up a wall, but you do see kind of like this crevice of her behind, and... it might be a bit much for some comic book readers. And, you know, throwing out words like it's offensive and it's naughty, it's sexist, blah, blah, blah. And that's fine. I could totally see this. I just personally think it's an ugly drawing. I don't so far as see it as being, you know, offensive or sexist or erotic in some way. I just think it looks terrible. But that's just me. But this is something that's been around forever. Women in comic books are always drawn with big boobs, showing a lot of cleavage, you know, drawn very sexy. We never see any average, just for lack of a better word. No, average looking female, you know, as a superhero. Yeah, they're usually wearing like latex or spandex or something that's very form fitting. So it makes sense to draw them with this sort of model body, and that's fine because the men are always drawn with big old muscles and, oh, look at how strong I am and I'm a beautiful man. So in my opinion, it kind of goes both ways. So I wanted to know how you guys felt about that. I mean, we don't see too many, you know, chubby bowling alley type superheroes. They're always good looking dudes.
Yeah, but I feel like I think it would be a little untrue to say that it goes both ways, because with men like superheroes, the idea is that they're drawn that way so that they look strong, right. And if it was the same meaning for drawing women a certain way, sure, I could get behind that, but that's not the way that they're drawn. They're not drawn to look strong, they're drawn to look beautiful. Right. Which is to say that women are only valued for their beauty as opposed to their strength.
I think
that's a little weird. With regards to the very specific drawing, I concur that it is just stupid and boring. Like, what a boring cover. Hey, we need a number one cover. Could you do, what about just a picture of that person? Just like a picture of them. No, like, interesting background, no nothing. Okay, I guess that's fine. Can I just draw her, like, on all fours with her butt in the air? Can I do that? Is that, I guess, it's a weird way to go with it, but okay.
Right.
So I just think it's a bad drawing that's also overtly sexualized.
And how?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple things. I mean, A, we're talking about Spider-Woman, which is, I imagine, not a terribly well-trafficked comic. So, I mean, it's a way to, like, get buzz and, you know, hype and publicity about it. You know, I'm sure the sales on it were infinitely better because of all the negative hype surrounding it. But, I mean, who reads comic books? I mean, if we really look honestly at the geekdom of comics, I have no official statistics in front of me, but I would assume that 3/4 of the people reading comics are guys, are boys, are men, are whatever you want to call it. And you know what? Sex sells. You know, they want to see, you know, if you truly want to see a change in comics, then you need to show the big three, big two, maybe, if you can take out Dark Horse, that women buy comic books in droves and that women aren't going to stand for this, instead of the vocal minority and, you know, mass media exposure, because those people aren't reading comics. You need people who are in the industry that are going to stand up against it. But boys want pretty girls that they can never get, that they can see half naked in their comic book.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's almost like demeaning to boys, you know? Like, I would like to think that, like, that cover for me is just not working out. I'm just looking at it and going, I don't want to buy that comic.
Right. I'm the same way.
Yeah, I like Spider-Woman in Secret Avengers. The way her character is being written is great. She's got this weird, like, friendship with a sentient bomb. It's awesome. And anytime she's been around the Hulk recently, she's been able to use her pheromone powers to just, like, keep him super chill, which has been, like, really cute, almost in a weird way. Like, he's doting on her, and she's just like, this, I could die at any moment. Okay, whatever. Gonna hope this works out.
Giant green pet.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think that there's things about her character that they should just be emphasizing that have nothing to do with the way that she looks. And I would like to think that whether it's a minority or a majority, you know, we should try and make comics for everyone. And one would hope that there's an amount of men out there who are just like, not great to demean women, be they fictional or otherwise, in that way.
Is it demeaning her by making her attractive? Like, it's not like she's like a slut or right. She's like a super bitch or something like that. They drew her to be very attractive. And Jeff and Tyler talk about it on the Comic Corner podcast quite a bit, that really the comic companies aren't very good at creating new comic book fans, that they have X amount of people who are currently reading and they're really marketing to them. And I think this would be a good opportunity for them to reach out to the newer, more, you know, let's not say politically correct, but more socially aware demographic of younger people. And, you know, they could reach out with a more, not, Justin used the word normal, but a more average looking person who has a personality over and not just a big.
I meant to say average. I didn't.
Or he may. Yeah, you may have said average, but yeah, just
whatever, you know, that means. Somewhere, because I mean, there's some kind of scale that we have to. I mean, all of us look at beauty in some way, right? I mean, we can all. I don't want to say all, but there is this way to look at a human being and say, "Wow, they are gorgeous," or "Wow, look at those features. I find those attractive." You know, that's yes. So I mean, that in a way that's fine. That's all relative, right? We can all have our own opinions, but how do you determine how to draw somebody? I mean, I don't get it.
Right.
I mean, the clothes, sure. Like, okay, for example, the new Batgirl costume, right? She's wearing boots. She's wearing leather pants. You know, she's got these sweet gloves, this awesome belt, these snap-on cape, and it makes sense. Like, it's more of an actual costume that someone could go to, you know, like a sporting goods store and make this outfit, right? It makes sense. She can fall off of her motorcycle and probably sustain mild injuries. visually. It's perfect. But I don't know. I don't know when that's going to happen. Are other heroes... Is it a big deal to change everybody's costume? Is that something that needs to happen? What, you know, you mentioned, Dave, how do we get new readers? What is the answer to that? How do you get new readers? What does Marvel need to do to get new readers and to not offend people?
I don't know the answer. I mean, would people who are offended by the costume prefer that these characters just didn't exist? In the history of comics, there have been a million standalone female-only books. Everyone from Mystique to Dazzler to Jubilee to, you know, Sue Storm. They've all had their own individual books, and none of them have lasted. The ones that have lasted, your Iron Man's, your Captain America's, your Wolverine's, you know, maybe there's a reason, I don't know, maybe there's a reason that it's only male books that are really succeeding, because, you know, the male readership, and, you know, male readership, they, you know, we had mentioned that the men are usually drawn strong because that's a trait that most men want to see in themselves. I would argue that most women would want to be beautiful like these people are drawn. I mean, you see it whenever girls go out. They spend all that extra time making themselves pretty and beautiful and stuff like that. Scantily clad uniforms are a completely different issue, I think. But as far as making the girls voluptuous and, you know, what, you know, society's version of what the perfect woman would look like, I think that's just art reflecting our society.
I mean, I think that's very much generalizing. Like, I understand the point that it's trying to see, like, embodying something people want to be. But I do think that's generalizing, especially for all the girls who do just want to be strong. You know, like, they go to superhero books for that. I think the real best thing people could do just to create more diverse characters in books, which is why I actually think Miss Marvel is going to be a great way of bringing in new readers. Like, there's been so many printings of Miss Marvel number one, you know, reprintings and successive printings of every issue after that. I legitimately think that could lead to long-term success. And I also think the quality of a lot of these female books currently are great. Like Black Widow, I've loved that series since it began, like not that long ago. And even more so for Elektra, having some really beautiful art.
My favorite female superhero was always Rogue from the 90s X-Men cartoon. And I'll tell you why. Because she was super strong, she could fly, she beat the shit out of everybody she fought, and she was fun. She made me laugh.
Sugar. Yes,
she had some sass.
Yeah, southern sass.
That was a fun formula, and it worked, and I loved it, and she was always my favorite. To this day, 90s animated series Rogue is still my favorite. You know, she had big boobs, but she was wearing a total jumpsuit, you know what I mean? So it didn't matter, but she had big old hair. But she had all the best powers. She flew, and she was super strong. What else do you need?
And she could borrow anyone else's.
Exactly. She could borrow people's powers. And, you know, that has its pros and cons, which would come into play quite often. But either way, she was fun and critical member to the team.
Yeah. I guess my last word on the Manara thing is just that drawing that character, looking to me, submissive rather than looking powerful, is my main issue with the personalization via the cover.
There you go.
It's a good observation. Come and get it, boys.
What can you do?
I didn't buy the issue.
Don't.
Yeah, I'm not gonna. I hope the story is not amazing, because then I'll just be like, oh, well.
What can you do?
I'm gonna get the variant cover where she's in, like, a parka. I only buy issues with girls in overcoats now.
So, before we go, Sean, I would like to thank you first for joining us for a fun-filled episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. And I want our listeners to know where they can go to get more of you, because we love you, and we want to just reach out and grab you. Where can they do that?
Well, everybody can go find the podcast on isitabicycle.com. Follow us on Twitter at Is It A Bicycle, or me personally at Sean_Leonard. And yeah, you'll be able to find everything by connecting with me on social media there and just by listening to the podcast. New episodes out every week on Fridays.
Ooh.
Where did you get the name Is It A Bicycle?
So I actually joined the podcast about a year after they came up with that name, honest to God. And they all were told, the three lads, Mark, Mike, and Steve, let's all go come up with a bunch of names. And then they went around the table when they reconvened to do the first episode, and no one had come up with a better one than Is It a Bicycle? I know, which I believe is a Flann O'Brien misquote.
We'll believe you.
Yeah, I know. I like Flann O'Brien, comedy author. Let's not worry about it. Let's just say that we're stuck with it, and sure, at least people remember it. Is it a bicycle? We don't know.
Still up for debate. I like it. Well, great. Well, everyone, thanks for listening to us. You can always go to geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews, as well as like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Geek Legacy. Be sure to check out the other podcasts in the Geek Legacy Network. We have the Comic Corner podcast, which is hosted by Jeff and Tyler, where they review comics currently on the pull list, as well as the Pixelated podcast, which is usually hosted by Steven and myself, but David has been filling in for Mr. Steven, who's out on an injury, which is a whole nother story. You also have our good friends, Mr. Byers over at The Full Bleed and Tony Tolato over at Sci-Fi Talk. Check them out. They're amazing, fine young men. All right, so, geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews. Thank you.